Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show.
What's up, guys? Ash Korchin here, back at it again with another episode of the Gen Z Hoops podcast. And I'm so thankful to be joined by a director of communications at the Osceola Magic, Mr. Kamran Fulati. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, Ashton. It's another sunny day in Orlando, Florida. So you can't complain when you have all those pretty much year round.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I could say the same about today in New York. It's raining like crazy over here. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. Just to jump into our discussion a little bit right now, can you talk a little bit about your connection to the game of basketball as well as growing up as a kid?
Yeah, so growing up, I was from Chicago in the 90s, Northwest Indiana, about 30 minutes from Chicago. And so Michael Jordan, he's God. He's plastered everywhere in every classroom. Everybody has the cardboard cutouts, the Got Milk signs, all of that stuff that you could think of with Michael Jordan. All the kids have the Jordan jerseys or, you know, some kind of Bulls uniforms. They had them at the book fairs. We had Bulls plastered everywhere. You couldn't walk without the Bulls being a thing in the 90s. And, you know, as a kid, I thought it was pretty cool. And I remember specifically, I don't know which finals it was, but I remember watching a finals and watching the Bulls actually close out a final series. I had my two older brothers with me that was in like our childhood bedroom growing up. And we were kind of watching it with my dad and just remember jumping up and down on the bed and so much excitement after one of those rings were won. I can't tell you which one it was because, I mean, like I said, it wasn't my life, but it was certainly involved in my life for a while. And then you go into flash forward a little bit. I wasn't an athletic kid at all in regards to traditional sports. I did like a lot of skateboarding, went like an alternative route rather than most of the other kids. And then got into music, and that was my first main love, was music. I was in a band. I signed a record deal when I was 17, toured around the world. I played in 48 states, 15 countries, you know, did everything you could do with music. Best way I could put it is I was kind of like a two-way player on like a G League contract. Like I was there with all the pros, but I wasn't getting paid like some of my friends were, but you know, we were there for it. And we were there.
What instrument did you play?
I play bass.
Oh, okay. So, nice. You sing a little too?
You don't want to hear me sing. It's not good. So did that for a long time. And in the process of that, how I got reintroduced back into the game of basketball was one day my brother was playing NBA Live. I'm the youngest of three. So my middle brother, he was playing NBA Live before 2K had taken over the game. It was all NBA Live at this point, you know, the 2000s. And we didn't really have internet access to play games online yet. It wasn't how it is today where everybody plays online. So you're just playing the computer all the time or someone that you have with you in person. And so my brother and I were hanging out one day and he said, "Hey man, in that very room where we watched Michael Jordan win those championships, said, can you please play with me? I know you don't like basketball really, but can you please play?" And I go, "Well, sure." This is 2008-09 season. So I go, "Huh, well, who's any good?" I'm like, "Is Shaq still on the Magic?" That was my question. I'm like, "Yeah, Shaq was on the Magic. They're a good team, right?" And you know, he hasn't been on the team in 15 years or whatever it's been. And my brother goes, "Well, no, he's not, but they have a really good team. They do a lot of threes." And I said, "Well, what's threes?" Didn't know what three-point shooting was. And he's like, pretty much explaining the rules to me. Everything outside of this line, all these guys on this team, Jameer Nelson could shoot threes, J.J. Redick. You have Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis. And then you have Dwight Howard in the middle. He can't shoot any threes, but he could dunk everything. Okay,
block
cool.
Every shot, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Magic. That sounds like a great time to me. And we played one game. And I felt kind of hooked from there. It was a lot of fun and really got into it. And my brother kind of found like a segue for us to connect a little bit more on that front. So we started watching some Orlando Magic games and they went to the finals that year. And I bandwagoned on. I'm just a romantic. That's the person I am in general. So to me, it was always an Orlando Magic fan all throughout everything that I did from there on out. Loved Orlando Magic. Had to learn the game by watching the game, following the broadcast. So I didn't play growing up. I didn't have any of those fundamental skills. My dad's from Turkey, and so they don't play basketball there for the most part, especially back in the 60s and 70s when my dad was there before he came to the States. He wanted us to play soccer, wrestling, swimming, more traditional Olympic sports at the time frame. So we did a lot of those growing up, fell in love with the Magic. particularly Jameer Nelson became my favorite player. And part of that was how I related it to my band life and why Jameer became my favorite player was because from every interview I saw, every interaction, he was the leader on that 2009 Orlando Magic team. They'll always tell you he was the captain and he was in the locker room. And that was the guy, even though he wasn't the best player. He wasn't a scrub by any means. He was an all-star in 2009 and the starting point guard on the finals team in 2009. So great player. But when you have talent like Dwight Howard, Rashard Lewis, and Hito Turkoglu, you have all these all-stars around you, and he's kind of like your fourth scoring option. It was so amazing to me that someone could be a fourth option, yet they're the voice that is the biggest, I guess, influence in the locker room.
Yeah, definitely.
And with that, it kind of reminded me of my band, because for me, I wasn't the most talented or gifted person in my band by any stretch of imagination when it came to playing. Some of those guys were just so talented individuals, but it ended up me being our inner band leader. So it was that correlation and that relation that I had with Jameer that really inspired me, and in how you could take from, maybe I'm not the biggest guy, maybe I'm not the strongest, but I do have a lot of skills that could attribute to wins. And that was the same way I thought about it. And so I just kind of attached on to Jameer, watched how the whole Dwight Howard leaving Orlando unraveled, and became such a fan that it was so synonymous with me in the touring days. Everybody knew how much of an Orlando Magic fan I was. And yeah, watched every game. There was times where we were on stage and I had league pass going on, and I would have to go ahead and act like I'm tuning my bass or something, kind of not face the crowd for a second and watch what the score is of the game. I would have that on every time. Didn't matter if we were on stage, I had the Orlando Magic playing. So that's how I fell in love with the sport of basketball.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I actually have like something like pretty similar in a way, like talking about like how you saw like the Bulls all over the place in Chicago. Like, I'm from New York. So while I was growing up, you know, everything was Carmelo Anthony. We had like Lin Sanity was going on at the time
I
too,
remember
in
it.
2012. So like, I remember, like, I had a friend in like the second grade, and he actually got to be the ball boy of for the Jeremy Lin Kobe Bryant game, you know, where Jeremy Lin had 38 points. So he comes in with this big, like, gigantic newspaper, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you were the ball boy sitting courtside at the Knicks game. And then my dad and mom come home, and I start telling them all about this stuff about the Knicks, because back then we didn't have laptops in school. We had like a computer lab. So during my like free period, I remember I went to the computer lab I asked my teacher if I can go to the computer lab, and I started looking up everything known to mankind about the Knicks, Melo. That's why I have them on the wall right there too.
Yeah.
On top of
Great
it.
Great talent.
But then I was telling my mom like all about like the Knicks and saying like, oh, I love the Knicks. Melo is the best player in the world. But then, oh man, she kind of like brainwashed me a little bit, because her and my aunt, they're actually like huge Miami Heat fans. And you know, the Heat were like running the NBA at that time,
Yeah,
right?
I know all too well.
Yeah, man. Oh, so they're huge Dwayne Wade fans. And my mom was like, let me show you who the best basketball player in the world is and who one of the best players is. So from then on, they kind of hooked me on the Heat. Every birthday, Dwayne Wade gear. And I fell in love. I saw LeBron James, because they were playing the Knicks like not too far down the line in that season as well. And I just remember seeing LeBron like bring it all the way back here, go down the
Oh
lane,
my
throw
gosh.
it. Yeah. And so from then on, it's been like Miami Heat everything. But I just wanted to connect that to like your story. I thought it was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that part.
Yeah, no problem at all.
going on to your professional side of things with your occupation right now. I was just a little curious, like, when did you know that you wanted to pursue broadcasting and communications? Cause that's what you obviously do right now with the Osceola Magic.
Yeah. So with me, it started, I was touring a lot, doing a lot of interviews on the road, being on radio always. And a lot of the questions would be very similar, standard questions. And they were pretty boring questions, if I'm being honest, because I answered the same thing, you know, in every city, essentially. What's the new album like? What inspired the name of the new album? Blah, blah, blah. What's your favorite thing over here? And it's just to me, like, dude, you could go on YouTube and you could find an interview, the same exact interview done a week ago. There's nothing. And it just really kind of made me bummed. And I wanted to possibly going to doing some kind of journalism, whether it was even on the music side, and do a podcast with maybe friends that I toured with and ask more in-depth questions, more intriguing questions than what the traditional questions were. I'd rather find out about the people that were behind everything. So I had just fallen in love with basketball, and I knew my touring days, it's like anything that when you're in entertainment, your days are limited for the most part. There's very few people that get to have a lifetime career span. There's very few Taylor Swifts, or you know, if you're Kiss or whoever you are, the Beatles, very few people ever get that. Very few people are Jordan. Most people spend a couple years in the NBA, even at that. So I had been on every single Orlando Magic like live stream that there was when Facebook first introduced it. And so I'd always ask all the most intriguing questions I could think of. And the communications department in Orlando has been around forever. Most of the team has been there since, whether it's the Shaq days or they came during the finals run. So everybody's been here for so long. And I just became obsessed with asking all these good questions. And eventually they followed me on my social media. And I knew that music was another tool for me to invite people out. So when I went on tour and we were coming through Orlando, I invited out a couple of the communications departments saying, "Hey, would you guys like to come out to my concert? I'm in a band. I would like to have you guys come to a show. I'll put you on the guest list. It'd be fun to go ahead and meet you in person." Knowing what I wanted to segue into at that point was going into broadcast. I wanted to leave music. And so I invited out Dan Savage, who is still with the team. I think he started in 2008 with the Orlando Magic. And it was him and another one of his colleagues at the time. And I asked him kind of, "Hey, what's the way that I can go ahead and maybe what's a career path?" Because everybody's path is a little bit different with basketball for sure. And then also with any kind of, I guess, odd job that you would call these, because they aren't normal typical jobs. There's only 30 of each job in the world because there's only 30 teams. And so I'd asked Dan, I said, "Hey, how do I go ahead and segue this?" And he gave me a little bit of a blueprint. But you know how often people ask, "Hey, how could I get into whatever your field you're into, whether it's fancy basketball, music, whatever?" And a lot of the time you brush it off because people aren't serious. And so he gave me a very lightly, you know, lightly paved path. And I went ahead and I started doing those things. And I think they kind of took a little bit of notice. And one of the gentlemen that were with the team, he said, "All right, if you go ahead and get like two internships, I'll bring you in for a Magic internship possibly." I said, "Perfect." And it was in radio, which is where I wanted to be. And I did my time with beat reporting for Purdue Northwest. I did my time with WJOB, and then I did my time with the Chicago Sky. And yeah, essentially, the gentleman that told me to do it, he had his applications open up for internships, and then he quit. So I didn't get brought in for that internship because they had quit, and then COVID kind of happened. And I started college way later because I had already toured for most of my life. So I was 26 when I started college. I'm getting towards the end of it. COVID happens. I want to get health insurance, all these different items. So I went ahead and I transitioned over to English teaching before I had my job at the Magic. So that's kind of a long-winded answer for what your question was.
Oh yeah, definitely. Thank you, man. Do you think you can go in a little detail about what you did with the Chicago Sky as a game operations intern?
Yeah, so if for anyone that doesn't know, game operations are the people that set up the show that's happening on the court, whether it's with the mascot or if it's with activations that are happening through any of the sponsorship partners. Sometimes you have the games that happen where it's like, "All right, like for the Magic, we have like a big operation board in there, and they have like this operation cut out of our mascot stuff, and you try and pick out the pieces of the buzzer in X amount of time, and you win a prize or whatever it may be, or the hats that move around or sneakers that are on the Jumbotron."
So you
So
do
that's
one
more
of
of a
those. Oh, sorry to cut you
no,
off.
no, go ahead, go right ahead.
So you do one of those, like, you know how at like the Knicks games or like any NBA game, they do those shooting contests where it's like you make a layup, you make a free
Yeah.
throw, then a half court shot,
So
and you win like $1,000 or something like that.
that's what I did with the Chicago Sky,
Oh, wow.
and
That's
I would
cool.
go ahead and get a job anywhere I could. It didn't matter if it was in communications. I just wanted to have something that cemented me in the league at that point, whether it's G League or if it's WNBA, they're all under the same umbrella. And so I just knew that no matter what, that would look good on my resume, is that, hey, at least I worked in the league where they have an expectation of professionalism that maybe my college may not have had, or the high schools I covered didn't have. And so it set me there and it set me apart a little bit on a future resume. Wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, but it made me more well-versed in what happens in the world of basketball. So I did that, and essentially I was a glorified t-shirt tosser. That's the best way to put it, with the Chicago Sky and not much at all to do with broadcast.
That's really cool though. Like I've always like seen these guys at like the Nets games. I actually went to like the Nets Heat game like right after Thanksgiving, and I saw these guys like running around the stands holding up these big signs like make some noise. They were really bringing the energy to the crowd, and like
Yeah.
they were really good with all the kids coming up to them asking to take pictures, giving them free t-shirts. I really think it brings like the energy to the game and makes the fans like way more like intrigued about and hyped to like kind of support the team in a way, you know what I mean?
Oh
But
my gosh, yeah.
that's
Yeah, the
amazing.
Milwaukee Bucks have a phenomenal section for their fan section, and they
Really?
kill it every game. They've been doing it forever, even when before Giannis was there and there was no one at games.
Oh, sorry, you froze there for a sec. My bad.
Yeah. No, you're okay. Yeah, just those games are wild if you ever get a chance to go, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, my mentor, John Harder-Phillips, he's a huge Milwaukee Bucks fan. Every like when they won the championship against the Suns, he flew out to Milwaukee and was out there partying, like chanting with the whole entire arena. And then the chanting just started, the energy just translated inside the arena. I remember him showing me videos about of this whole entire atmosphere. I was like, wow, how like I can't imagine playing in that in like NBA Finals
Yeah.
atmosphere like that. No wonder Devin Booker, like, I don't know about him missing those shots at the end of the game, but there was a lot of pressure on him in that moment, if I had to say so.
Yeah. When the Orlando Magic win a championship, I'm gonna be doing the same exact thing. I don't care what I'm doing in my life. I'm flying out to Orlando. I'm there for the parade. I'm there for the final game. I've always said that. Didn't care when I was on tour. I said, if the Magic win a championship, guys, you're playing the show without me. I don't care. I'm going out.
That's insane. I mean, that's coming soon. They're like what, fourth in the East right now?
Yeah, we got a very young, promising team in Orlando, and we're very excited about it. I mean, both
Yeah.
organizations between the Orlando Magic and the Osceola Magic are winning, and
Right.
it's a great culture to be a part of right now. So I'll tell you that.
I definitely agree. They have Suggs at the two, Cole Anthony at the one, Paolo Banchero. Like, don't even get me started on him. He's gonna be a problem in the league going forward.
Him and Franz Wagner, both just
Yep.
such
Yeah.
tremendous talents. The
Yeah.
Wagner brothers are
Mo
hard
Wagner is really good
workers.
too.
Yeah, both the Wagner brothers are at practice before everyone else every day.
Really?
Oh yeah, they're always there in the morning, and just they're super awesome people. That's all I could say. The entire organization is beautiful, and I know people say that all the time from the outside looking in, and I'd always heard that with the Magic just from being a fan, but it truly is, and it's great. Everybody feels really connected, and no one really looks themselves above you or anything of that nature, and players are extremely respectful as well.
Yeah, that's great. So going back to your role as a first as a communications manager, and then your transition to the director of communications and business operations. Can you talk a little bit about that transition? Like, what were your biggest challenges, and what did you like most about this transition into your new role?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different sides that go with it. When I applied for my job with the Magic, I had went through an interview process, and it was funny because it was with G League. We were Lakeland at the time,
Right.
and I was asked, "Well, since you're a pretty big fan, can you name who the leading scorer is?" And I said, "For who, Orlando or for Lakeland?" And they were just amazed that I could do either one, either one. And they said Lakeland. I go, "Of course, it's BJ Johnson." And then they just start asking me, "Can you name any call-ups?" And I go, "Yeah, Troy Copain, Rodney Purvis, Jamil Artis,
Wow.
Emil Jefferson." I loved it. So I watched everything. I was a armchair GM, and so that was a big part of why they hired me into that PR role, because it was someone that already knew all the records, someone that they wouldn't have to train on the background or knowledge of the team. And so it helped me out quite a bit. And in year one, when I first got there, it was just writing a lot of game notes, doing credentials, and then press release. And what happened was I noticed that we only had one play-by-play gentleman. His name's Nick Renowitz, and He is Lakeland Magic only one play-by-play guy, and I said, "Hey, I called some color in college and did college games. I did high school games. It's kind of what I did with WJOB." And I asked, "Is there any way I could go ahead and do it?" And they said, "You know what? You're in luck because we need someone to produce a radio show, and you said you've done that before too." Sure enough, I had. So it was just one of those things where it helped me in that opportunity of if you've done many things, when those opportunities come, it's easy to just plug you in. So I was producing the radio show, and then I was doing color on the broadcast, and I ended up calling the majority of the games last year. So that was a fun part of it. And then comes year two with the team, I got a nice promotion. Thankfully, my higher ups all believe in me, and they helped me out with that. So nowadays, it's a lot more work. I oversee all the scorers table, and I do color on occasion with the team now. It's not as frequent. I've done three games for us this season, but I do all of the press releases, anything that goes into post-game interviews with the players. I do credentialing for any media that wants to come out. Yesterday, I had to take Mac McClung to the winter showcase. So I took him and Traveling Queen, took them around their media circuits. And tonight I have another panel that we have to do with Mac McClung. And so any of those items that involve the team going out to the media or media wanting to interview the team, that's more of my wheelhouse. And then for the business operations side that I do as well, that's more of all the logistics. I'm kind of the person that connects with basketball operations and bridges their gap to the business side. So I'm the middleman that brings it over to the business office, which is all of, anything with sponsorships, events and like that. And then I'm the person that will talk to the basketball operations front office and get that all set up. And I mean, I can't say enough about the Magic organization and how great they are. They try to include you every way, and I get to talk to the GMs every day. So to me, it's awesome.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it's a fun time, and that's kind of what it entails. It's just looking over stats crews, making sure everything's going well with the stats. I have to do stats on occasion as well. And it's not just like, oh, rebound, rebound. It's learning a whole program and knowing how to operate that. So there's that aspect. I mean, it's making sure that no one tries taking advantage of players at media settings, making sure they're all being responsible, respectful. And then yeah, I mean, it's a very short-listed version of it. I do injury reports too, send that out to the league. I also go ahead and get the starters from the opposing team, swap that out with coach, and so we get all the other team starters. Like I said, writing game notes is a big thing. And then any kind of time the players are out, especially during the holidays, we get to do fun things where we have like shopping sprees set up with kids from the local youth. And
Oh, cool.
I set up those events, and then when that happens, I write like a post story write up on it. And so yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
Wow, that's a lot, man. But it seems
Never
like,
stops.
I mean, that's great though. It seems like you really enjoy what you do here with the Magic. Like
Yeah.
one of my old math teachers back at my high school, Salisbury School, it's in Connecticut. It was all guys boarding school. But he always told me he was also like the previous basketball coach at the school. His name is Jeff Gruskin. He always told me that like I would always tell him, man, I want to be rich when I grow up. I don't care if I'm like struggling in my job or anything like that. I just want to make money. But he always told me like it doesn't matter like if you're making like if you're a millionaire, it just matters like if you enjoy what you do at the end of the day. Like
Yeah.
you always want to follow like your pursuit of happiness and if anything. He also like, I don't mean to like keep rambling on, but he always told me a story. It was about he was friends with a lot of guys like in the area, and then they would always go to this one gas station in the morning, right? He would drive like some older modeled car, and they would all come pull up in their Mercedes, their suit and ties, and he's going to the school to teach. He'd go get his coffee and his protein bar, and they would always go tell him, "Oh man, Jeff, like I gotta go to work now. I'm like sick of this." He's like, "Oh man, but you're making all this money, like shouldn't that keep pushing you?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know how you do it, man." He's like, "I'm fine with my little car here and in the simple life that I live. Coaching basketball and like teaching kids, that's like what kept pushing him forward." So whenever I hear like people like you like tell me stories about all this rigorous stuff that they do in their jobs, but they love it so much, just like always connects me back to Mr. Ruskin at the end of the day. So I just wanted to
Yeah,
share
I
that.
mean, you spend If you're at a normal job, you spend 40 hours a week there. If you're in the NBA, you're spending probably 50 plus. I mean,
Yep.
when it gets crazier in the season, some weeks go 60 plus hours with these, and it's just the thing is with that, if I'm going to spend the majority of my, not even not the majority, but if you spend a lot of your life at work, you're spending 40 hours a week there, you better enjoy what you're doing,
Yep.
because anything that you do in life, it's going to trickle down to what your home life is like. I don't want to come home from work miserable and then my wife
Right.
have to deal with a miserable man, and then one day when I have children, them deal with a dad that's miserable that doesn't want to be with them.
Yeah.
So to me, it was always so critical on that. I mean, that's like I said, I had that little period where I switched my majors. I went over into teaching, and that was because for me, when COVID shut down what I was doing, I mean, I didn't want to ever do any other sports. It was basketball or nothing.
Right.
That's really what it was for me. Someone could ask me to cover football, I don't want to do it. And it's just not trying to be a brat about it, but it's just, if I'm not passionate about it, you're not going to get the best worker, so I'm not going to be great at it. And then you're
Exactly.
also going to get someone on my end, my mental health side. I wouldn't be happy coming home from work every day. I wouldn't be thrilled every day. I tell my wife about work, and I just love every bit about it. So for me, some days are stressful. You get up at 9 a.m. I mean, not get up, you get to work at 9 a.m. on a game day, and you don't leave till 1 a.m. sometimes. So you go all day and you try and eat for a little tiny bit in between, and it can get wild.
Yeah, I mean that's what everything you do in life at the end of the day, like there's good and bad in everything. There's never like you're never going to get 100% like, oh, I love this. There's always going to be like those challenges, but like as long as overall you just love what you're doing at the end of the day, I always think you should keep going with it and see where it takes you at the end of the day. But that leads us into like what else do you aspire to do in your career? Or like, I know you're happy with your current role, but
Yeah.
like you're obviously so young. There's so much more. Like, there's so much more that you have in your journey and like working in sports. So I was wondering, like, pick your brain a little bit about what you think, like, the road down the line of what your career is.
Well, I'm glad that your Gen Z self thinks that 32 is young. I'll take 32
It
being
is
young any
young.
day. I'm gonna keep it going as long as I can. But for me, there's a lot of different paths to take, and that's one of the beautiful things. I don't know how all organizations work, but with us, doors are kind of open, and that's the beautiful thing about working in the G League, is that you're exposed to so many different jobs that it gives you opportunity to learn on so many things. Some days, I sit there and ponder about where my career is going to be in 10 years. Sometimes I want to be doing what I'm doing, but with the Orlando Magic, and those doors may open up one day. Some days I may hop into social media. I oversee a lot of our social media with our team as well. And then some days I think, hey, maybe I would want to go into basketball operations, and that'd be a lot of fun. And like I said, everybody is super helpful, inclusive there. So I don't know. I may maybe basketball operations, maybe a scout one day, or going into doing communications and helping out with all that with the Orlando. Maybe not play by play. For a long time, I wanted to do play by play and color, but there's a lot of other jobs that I do enjoy with the team, and I don't know if that's the one I want to do forever. So to give you an
Yeah.
answer, I don't have a straight answer, but I leave all my options open, and I try to get my, toes dipped into everything I can, try and
Right.
experience what I can with the team, because you never know. Like I said, I was doing game ops with the Chicago Sky. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing now, nothing at all. And I'm sure most people would say that has nothing to apply to me. That wouldn't do anything with journalism or broadcast. Why would I do that? But to me, it's another way into the league. And that was
Right.
one of the main things they brought up in my interview process was, hey, you spent time with the Chicago Sky? That's awesome. Can you tell me about it? What were your duties? Standard questions a bit, but they also were, heads were drawn that I had already worked with an organization that has NBA tagged on it. And so they knew that there's a level of professionalism that goes with it. And who knows, maybe I'll be back in game ops one day. It's not my dream right now, but who knows? Maybe it'll switch. Like you said, I'm young enough to be able to have those
Right.
opportunities. And yeah, just I love it. I love the team. I love being on the basketball side of it. So in my very long, over-explained answer, I'd like to be in communications or in basketball operations.
100%. I totally agree. I could totally see you in that role. But like going back to like your time with the Chicago Sky, like we all have to start from somewhere. Like see me, I'm trying to build my resume with this show here. I even have like I even when I actually like played for an organization over in Greece for like a week. It's called Super League Athletic Academy. We go over there, play like a lot of like the U19 like national teams, Panathinaikos, like Giannis's old gym. And our coaches were actually like NBA guys, G League GMs. So like one of my coaches, he actually told me he used to work for the Lakers, and he was like he would go like pump up the basketballs. He only had like one Lakers shirt that he had to wear to like work every single
Yeah.
day. But now he's like the GM of the Mexico City Capitanes, Nick
Oh,
Lajers.
wow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I mean, you start from somewhere and you just keep working your way up in the industry. And you never know, like you can be a GM, you can work your way into one of those huge roles, you know?
It's definitely happened. I mean, our GM for the Osceola Magic, he wrote letters, handwritten letters, to every single team in the NBA, and only one of them responded, and that was the Orlando Magic, about just doing anything if he could meet them. And he
Right.
drove down from Virginia to Orlando
Wow.
and met them, and it was for maybe 20 minutes, and drove back up to Virginia and coached a college basketball game that next day.
That's insane.
So yeah, but it just takes a different breed of people to do those type of things. And even now, Kevin, he's the GM of the team, and who's our assistant GM, those guys will still go ahead and grab towels sometimes, like off the
Right.
ground, and do laundry if need be, and that's GMs. It's not their job. And they have people that do that, but they still go ahead and help with it. And it's just not thinking they're above anyone else or anything else. I know who works with the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. His name's Matt Lloyd. He used to work in our front office, and he worked in the Bulls front office. And how he started
Right.
with the Bulls was he was a mop guy. He was a mop
Really?
kid. He was a mop
Yeah.
kid, just pushing the mop on the court, and then
Wow.
eventually worked his way up. And they say that he's the one that was responsible for scouting of Jimmy Butler going to the Bulls. And so you just never know where you could end up. You go to work every day, be the best person you can be, work as hard as you can, and a lot of times it's just about getting your foot in the door. And the organizations are so helpful from there on out.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, from my favorite team, the Miami Heat, like Eric Spoelstra started in the video
Yeah.
room right there. And all the guys, like majority of the guys on their roster are all like undrafted players who they brought up from the Sioux Falls Skyforce, their G League team.
Yep.
Like Duncan Robinson. I know Max Strus and Gabe Vincent aren't on the team anymore, but those guys, Haywood Highsmith, another one. They even have Nikola Jovic playing over there. Like that's one of the reasons why I resonate with them so much too, as well, like as I got older, because I wasn't one of like those kids who was like highly recruited or anything like that. I was there like, I would score, but like I wasn't just one of those like offensive players. I go rebound, I defend, I try and do all like the little things as well. And the stuff that doesn't really show up on the stat sheet either, you know what I mean? So you're not really getting all the media attention on you, like while we're coming from recruiting or anything like that, college recruiting, but as long as like I'm there to help the team and like I'm a grind type of guy, as guys you see on the Heat, like that's mainly also why they're my favorite team as well.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. And I hear great things about them from, obviously we always hear about the Heat culture. So my point being is that I think anyone can go ahead and move up, and you can go anywhere within the organization as long as you get an in. I mean, we had a guy that was with us with the Osceola Magic, and he started off as a mop boy and then got a job all the way up in the business office side and had a director role for a little bit before he'd left. But
Right.
yeah, it's just showing you that it's possible with anything. You can take your start doing the game ops side. You just take anything you can, man. Anything could happen. I talked to another guy the other day that's on our team, and he told me that he used to be a ticket taker. He used to be the ticket
Really?
taker for games, and then he started off doing game ops, and then now he does. He's like the manager of broadcast, and so
Wow.
he oversees all that. So it goes from ticket taker to being the person that manages the broadcast that happens on TV. How cool is that?
That's insane. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just gotta keep working, keep grinding. Like never give up on like what you really want to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, some of the best advice I got a long time ago back in my touring days was whenever you're out there, you're on stage, whether you could call work, stage, whatever you want to do,
Right.
you're always auditioning for everyone else around you. Someone always is seeing something. And
Right.
so when you're out there, you want to put out the best representation of yourself and show why you stand out over others.
That's like Kobe Bryant. Like he said in an interview one time, that he's gonna play injured, he's gonna play like as hurt as possible. As long as he can go out there on the floor, there's like one kid or anyone out there who's never seen him play before and is paying money to see him play. So he's always playing in front of
Yeah.
new people, and he wants to show the best Kobe Bryant as he could be on the floor.
Yeah,
So,
but that's part of what separated him from everybody else.
yeah, most definitely. He played on like he when he tore his Achilles that one game against Golden State in
Yeah, I saw. I
2013.
remember.
I know that was a
Yeah.
bad moment, but like he felt like he probably felt like three times before that he had to get subbed out of the game, and he still knocked down the free throws. That it's insane.
Yeah.
Just had that drive and motivation. That's very good.
Yeah,
That's the mama mentality, you know what I mean?
I'm not saying I'm at that level. I'm not at that level yet, but one day I might be there.
Well, thank you so much, Cameron, for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me, Ashton. I really appreciate it. And you doing things like this, you never know where it's gonna end up leading. Keep working, keep grinding, and keep applying, keep putting your toes out there, see what's available for you.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.